words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. With our Bibles open to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3, we begin our study on Paul's next entreaty toward the Corinthian Christians. It is a fearful entreaty in which he points the saints to the Lord and his laborers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we find also that Paul causes the believers to face the facts of their carnality. He sets before them their lack of spirituality, the gross error of immaturity in the things of God. And in so doing, he reproves them and he rebukes them for their walk in this present world. And as we go through the chapter, he is faithful as a preacher to point them to a coming day of reckoning for the believer when his works will be put to the test and revealed by fire. So find your place in 1 Corinthians 3 as I go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for the word of the Lord before us now. Bring it home to our hearts. Give it free course in our lives. Help us to glorify you. In Jesus' name, and all because of his precious blood, we pray and ask our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So you have your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3. Let's begin our reading in verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe? Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Let's conclude our reading there, and I want to introduce the thoughts that we're going to study in this chapter. And then we'll go back, the Lord willing, and give you some more thoughts concerning the judgment seat of Christ, that time when the saints will be reviewed and their works will either be rewarded or rejected. And so first we see every man's Lord to which he is accountable, verses 1 through 5. And then every man's labor for which he is rewarded, verses 6 through 9. And then every man's life for which he is responsible, verses 10 through 15. We have already said that this chapter includes the entreaty of the apostle to bring the saints back into unity, to move them to forsake their carnality, and to give themselves completely over to the spiritual work of the Lord. And so the saints should keep before them the Lord and his laborers. There is a coming day. It is a day of reckoning. It is the judgment seat of Christ. In Romans 14, verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We continue in verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou sit at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. The exhortation for you today is that you and I are personally accountable to God. Every one of us will give an answer. The Lord is coming. We can say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. 1 John 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that is, in Christ, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We can triumph in this life, as we live out the priorities of the crucified life and the power of the resurrected life, we can walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, we need to understand And so I give you an explanation. The judgment seat of Christ is not a time when the saints will be judged for their sins. No, we will be judged for our works and for the things done in this body, whether they be good, whether they be bad, that is, whether they were worthwhile or worthless in connection with the cause of Christ and the glory of God. And so the church is going to be reviewed and recompensed at the judgment seat. We are judged as sons in this life, Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11. But in this future day, when we stand before our Lord Jesus, we will be judged as servants. And in Revelation 4, consider this. I believe the rapture. John hears the trumpet. He's received up into heaven, having seen the open door. I believe it is a picture of the rapture. The first thing John sees is the throne occupied by that one who was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Therefore, the 24 elders, occupying 24 seats around the throne, clothed in white raiment, crowned with overcomers' crowns, begin to worship God as they belong to Him by right of creation. Revelation 4, 10 and 11. But then they worship Him as they belong to Him by right of redemption. Revelation 5, verses 8 through 10. I therefore believe that they represent the redeemed of God and being crowned. I believe they have already been, those that comprise the church, have already been to the judgment seat. And so we find then the Bema seat sometime between the rapture and the worship of heaven. The church will linger before the judgment seat and be reviewed and recompensed according to Christ's divine discretion. For the Father hath committed all authority and judgment into His hands. We will rise to meet our Lord in the air. At the time of the resurrection of the just will be the time of recompense. Luke 14 and 14. The hidden thing will be brought to light. 1 Corinthians 4, 4 and 5. And our works will be made manifest of what sort they are. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15. Our lives will be reviewed, revealed, and recompensed. We will either be rewarded or suffer loss and be saved, yet so as by fire. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.